for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello, I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Steffi Barnett.
And welcome to Shout Out.
Today on the show,
at the Heartbreak Opera.
It's gender-bending, anti-colonialist and proto-feminist ballad opera. We speak to Polly.
And the Queer East Festival.
It is indeed. We chat to director Yi Wang.
All coming today, right here on Shout Out. There's no one else here to do it for a change.
No, we don't actually speak to Polly per se, but a couple of the actors.
No, okay. So, hello, Terry.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Evening, Sir Terry.
Hello. I'm live from my coffin underneath the stairs tonight. So there's a slight delay.
Is it well padded?
I'll respond to everything late.
It's not actually that much of a delay compared to some times when we've
had that's true.
This is probably one of the best we've had so far. So
I got a slight echo effect.
Considering that you're led down, Terry, you're sounding okay.
Yes, and I got my fangs in, yeah.
Your fangs.
Fangs for the memory, Terry.
So, now, if I do that, you might not have a delay anymore. Oh, no. No.
Maybe we could just have a seance. It's easier.
Yeah. Now, I had a note about Sing Out that we had to talk about. Yes, that's right. They have their concert coming this Saturday.
Legends and Legacies. Legacies and Legends. Legends. Is that the national one where choirs from all over the UK are appearing?
Because I think that's later in the year.
Yeah, that's later in the year.
Yeah,
because they've been asking us to advertise for volunteers to help organise that.
Okay.
This is Sing Out Bristol. I've got their concert this Saturday. Tickets are on sale, and if you just search for Sing Out Bristol on any good search engine, it'll pop up and you can have a look. So, and they tend to sell fast, their tickets, because they're very good. So yeah, if you're interested, that's this Saturday, my birthday.
Well, a bit early to wish you happy birthday, so we'll do it on the day, shall we?
I'm of the age now where I can just go past.
You are of an age.
Yeah, I'm 25 again. That's
well, you better book your space. Definitely. I think there's only one Zimmer frame space left in the car park for the studios.
It's all right, but by the time I need one, I can have yours. It's
wow. That jumped off the planet pretty quickly.
So Terry might need it before me.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm getting that way. However, being undead, maybe I'll get away with it.
So, and I was going to say, it's nice it's getting light in the evenings, but I really do wish the weather would take a turn for the better.
It got to 18 today. Yeah. Really mild.
It was awful this morning. It was foggy everywhere and dreary and the like. And it's grey out there at the moment, isn't it? So
yeah, it is. Yeah.
Going to be nice
so
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Well, and in fact, yeah, if you're listening on Friday, yeah, tomorrow it'll still be nice. And if you're listening Sunday, not sure about Monday's forecast.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird, isn't it? Because it was like last year we had it was really hot in June. Everyone was like, "Oh, we're gonna have a lovely summer." Then we had no more summer the rest of the year. Apparently, something to do with the jet stream is just in the wrong place and constantly pushing all the rubbish up to us. Which is
that the technical term? Is it
apparently? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Meteorologist in the making, Mr. Shilton.
Well, most people know what the jet stream is. They talk about it on the weather every time they're doing it. You watch Tom Schaffanacker. He's a bit of a gay icon, you know, given weather information. He's always about his jet stream.
Very tight t-shirt.
There goes Terry.
Yes, he is a bit of a gay.
He's a bit of a heartthrob, isn't he, Tom Schaffanacker? Oh, he's gay, I think. He's got a husband, I think.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, I hope you haven't just outed him.
No, I don't think so. I think he's very publicly out.
I didn't know he was gay.
Didn't you?
No.
I hope I'm not outing him. I'm pretty sure he is.
I don't actually care if he's gay or not.
No, as long as he can tell the weather.
He does the weather well. That's all that counts.
That is.
Yeah, see? But you learn about jet streams and the like.
Did I?
Well, obviously you didn't.
I need a little
do.
Bit more than that. Yeah. That it sweeps and change direction.
So it seriously is the reason why the country is warmer, because if you think we're almost on a parallel with, you know, like Norway and those kind of countries that are significantly colder
right.
than we are, yeah. And it is the jet stream that actually keeps the UK warmer and unfortunately wetter.
Mm.
So.
Yes.
Those of you who are thinking that we might mention the CAS report, we will be doing that. We're just getting a special show together for that, for a response
indeed.
From the experts.
Yes. Now, for those that don't know what it is, do you want to very quickly just give a 30-second summary of what it is?
It's a report that came out to advise the NHS and the government about how to go forward with mainly trans youth. But I think, to the most part, it sounds good in some places, but the thing is, there is nowhere for them to go now. The clinics don't know when they're opening.
No, and the Tavistock is closing or closed? It's closed.
Yeah. So there's nowhere for kids to go now, you know. And then, of course, the kids are important, but there's also adults with gender incongruence or gender dysphoria.
Mm.
So it's quite sad times at the moment, and I think... It was bad before transgender visibility, day of visibility, but
just because it happened to fall on Easter.
It's just since then, it's just been full of hate, and I feel really sad for Indy Willoughby and Shay Coffey, who've been taking some hits. Shay was on Radio 2 and then took some death threats, and India Willoughby's got a police guard now because of death threats, all from the likes of J.K. Rowling and her cohorts.
Yes, who has openly said today that she will never forgive Daniel Radcliffe and Emma, what's her surname, Watson, for being
trans-friendly.
She said even if they came out and apologised right now, she'd still never forgive them.
Makes you wonder, she's going to be a wizened old witch, isn't she? Within a couple of years, she's already looking hard-faced.
I don't understand how you can wake up in the morning and your first thought be, I know what I'll do, I'll post some transphobic stuff online.
But that means she's just full of hate all the time. You have to learn to hate.
Yeah.
It beggars belief. Anywhere, dear listener, moving swiftly on, let's talk to Terry in his coffin. It's much more fun.
Well, no, we need to move on a bit more than that, I'm afraid, because it's time for a bit of heartbreak opera, which, as you said at the top of the show, is a gender-bending, anti-colonialist, proto-feminist.
Is that what he said?
Ballad opera, yeah. So, well, I took it from your show notes. So, this is... Polly the Heartbreak Opera, is that right?
It is, yeah. And I was chatting to Marie and Maddie.
Cool.
You know, I know, we love the theatre here on Shout Out, and we're going to be joining our two guests any moment now. There's a new adaptation of John Gay's forgotten gender-bending anti-colonialist and proto-feminist ballad opera, Polly the Heartbreak Opera. That's amazing. This was originally written in 1729. Yes, you heard right. I'm joined by Mary, and Maddie. See, all that practice and it went to naught. Welcome both. Welcome. So we'll start with Maddie. Were you always into acting? Were you always sort of showing off when you were growing up, always in the school plays?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Incurable show off from a very young age. And was very, very in love with it. And it was something that I think I always just found really, really fun, but also really easy. And then when school started getting really hard and I was picking things for university, it was kind of a toss up between this and something harder. And I decided to follow my heart.
Okay. Mary, but what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I discovered theatre in school as well. And I think it's so important to have proper provision of theatre and arts courses in school. Like, they just keep cutting them left, right and centre and being told that we have to focus on academic stuff. Not everyone's academic, and some people need to make art. Otherwise, we'll live in a great world with nothing of interest. And
it's very true, isn't it, that the art. Art gives us so much joy in all its forms, and yet a lot of people bemoan the fact that money is being spent on it.
No, but then, you know, they want to watch TV, and if you don't have people doing A-levels, then they won't make any TV later on.
Yeah, indeed. Are you both performers?
We've both written and perform in this. There are two other performers in the show, all women or non-binary people. And we've made this, gender-bending and anti-colonialist, feminist, very, very fun, silly techno musical.
Tell us about the show itself, without revealing too much, any, you know, plot giveaways. Tell us what you can about it.
It's kind of a tragedy and also kind of a revenge fantasy. There's lots of stuff about sort of like, there's a bad kind of like bigamist husband. So there's lots of kind of like very heartbreaky stuff. But then there's some more, some more political undertones that start to take shape, which feels very important for all of us. But there's so many songs and so many bangers, and they're really, really fun to do, and lots of silly costume and stuff like
Can
that.
Can you give us a bit of a hint on, you mentioned bangers. So come on, just give us a few of those titles.
We've got Beastie Boys in there. They're all original songs written by amazing composer Ben Osborne and Maddie. Maddie did lots of the composing on it. So we've got songs that have kind of got a Beastie Boy flavor. We've got songs which have got a Nina Simone flavor very much. We've got kind of Tom Waits and stuff. And so there's a real mixture of musical influences there that I think people are going to find it. It feels, it's very alive. The music is super fun. Also like very Britney stuff, you know, like very poppy. So
we've got a rap battle between three brides, a sort of punch up at a wedding, jealous rap battle inspired by like Peaches and Lady Sovereign. I think that's probably my favorite track and a good one to watch.
How do you remember that? It amazes me how rap singers remember all those lines and can deliver them so fast. It is absolutely amazing. Were you okay with that type of thing? Do you find it easy to remember lines?
I'm dyslexic, so I find it really hard. And it's just, I mean, people ask, how do you remember lines? And it's really hard. You just have to sit down and learn. And I guess that's the sort of, hopefully the magic of theatre is that these things seem effortless. And that's when those incredible rappers, you know, they make it seem like they're just coming up with these amazing rhymes off the top of their heads, and some of them will be, but a lot of them is just a lot of hard work.
Maddie, do you find it easier, or are you the same? Do you struggle with remembering?
Sometimes I find it easy, and then sometimes I actually find it really hard. So it's very, I can't relax, basically.
Okay.
Anytime I can relax, I sometimes am unpleasantly surprised. And this time I've been recording all my lines and then listening to them on the bus in the way in, and sort of like, just lots and lots of practice, just drilling and drilling and drilling, so that you don't have to think about it.
This is not a relaxing show. This, like, I have six characters. I'm also currently, one of my characters is pregnant. I am actually currently pregnant. I'm 6 months pregnant. And the tour was booked long before I got pregnant. So that shows how long theatre timelines are compared to human pregnancy. And so we'll be doing the show. One of my characters pregnant. My other character, McKeith, who's like this classic 18th century bad boy of theatre, but in our show is a real actually bad boy. But I'm going to be playing him as a pregnant drag queen. So
I love the inventive way that you've got around that. That's
I mean, I don't think you could do it in any other show, really. But this one is so sort of cheeky and wild that I think we get away with it. I think it will actually add something quite exciting.
Yeah. Now, tell us about where the performance is going to be. Are you actually touring, or are you static?
It's a tour. We start in Bristol, which you'll know well. The Wardrobe Theatre, from the 12th to the 20th. So we open this Friday at the Wardrobe, and then we run all next week at the Wardrobe in Bristol. Those shows are on at 7:30, so come down in Old Market. And then we go to the Lowry up in the north in Salford for two nights, the 3rd and 4th of May. And then we go to the Pleasance in London for the 8th to the 11th of May. And then to Exeter as well, Exeter, the Barnfield there.
Wow, getting around.
We're getting around. And hopefully I won't have a baby on route.
Yeah, we do have enough. There are plans.
Let's hope not, eh?
No, I've got some time. That'll be all right.
Right, so how do people, is there a single place where people can get tickets for all the areas you're playing at?
That would have been extremely sensible of us to do, but no, if you just go to all of the individual theatres' websites, so if you want to go in Bristol, go to the Wardrobe Theatre. If you want to go to the one in the Salford, go to the Lowry.
In London. Have you got a website and social medias specifically for the play?
For the show, yes, you can get us on sharpteeth.org. That's the name of the production company. I'm also maryhamilton.com. And then, because it's a collaboration between me and Sharp Teeth, who's run by our brilliant director, Steph Kempson, who runs Sharp Teeth. And and the Instagram for Sharp Teeth is Sharp Teeth Theatre at Sharp Teeth Theatre. And I, if you just search for Mary Hamilton, M-A-R-I-E Hamilton, you'll find me on the other ones.
Okay. Maddie, are you on socials that you mind sharing?
Oh, yeah, no, sure. I have an Instagram, which is Madeline Shan Dances, at Madeline Shan Dances. And my website is madelineshan.co.uk. There's a mention of Polly on this, but I can't take too much credit on this one. I'm just along for the ride.
You are 100% the ride.
Oh, okay.
She's amazing. She's our ride or die. She's the ride or die.
Now, is there an age limit for people to be able to go and see the show, or?
We recommend 14 plus.
14, okay.
Yeah, there's swearing. There's definite adult themes. We think that 14-year-olds could definitely handle that. Younger than that, the kind of the nuances of what it's a political show, and some of the nuances might be go over people's heads slightly. So I think 14 is good. Although we are doing a Babes in Arms performance, so if you're under one, you can come. In Bristol, we've got a Babes in Arms performance. So just go on the website, the Wardrobe Theatre website, for that.
I love that.
No, because mums need to get out.
What a great idea.
It's really great to be able to go to the theatre, because you just can't otherwise.
Yeah. Mary, Maddie, thank you so much for joining us on Shout Out. And I just have to say, break a leg.
Oh, thank you so much. Really looking forward.
Speak soon. Bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
It's Cry For You by September. I like that one.
Is that new version, or is it?
It's the UK radio edit.
Yeah, but is it a new? Because Duffy done the original.
Oh, quite possibly. Yeah, you know what music's like these days. We take the same song and rehash it multiple times. Yeah. It's quite funny when the youth of today hear a song and they go, "Oh, I like that new song," and you think, "I was dancing to that in the clubs, or at least the original version of that 20 years ago."
And if you take it right back, there's probably something in the 50s and 60s that was that song. Are we going live to Terry's coffin now?
Terry's there. Say hello, Terry.
I'm here.
There you go.
I'm queer. Get used to it.
That's true.
So, are you ready to give us some news, Mr. S?
Indeed.
Marvellous.
This is Shout Out News. Welcome along. Gay SA Radio and Mamba Online, both respected media working for South Africa's LGBTQIA+ communities, report this week that South Africa, alongside Australia, Finland and Chile, brought forward a motion to the United Nations that called on member states to respect the rights of intersex people. As a result, the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva adopted its first ever resolution specifically addressing discrimination, violence, and harmful practices against individuals with innate variations in sex characteristics. Mamba Online takes up the story and notes that in a joint statement, 35 civil society organisations applauded the landmark moment for intersex people and their rights. They said, "This resolution marks another milestone in how international bodies are looking at the rights of intersex persons. We are grateful to the cross-regional group of states who brought this resolution forward, those who supported it, and the growing number of countries that have started to enhance protections for intersex persons," so said the 35 organisations. Their statement concluded, "Intersex people exist in every part of the world, and yet they continue to face pervasive human rights violations everywhere, including forced and coercive medical interventions, infanticide, denial of legal recognition and registration at birth, and discrimination in accessing health, education and sports, amongst others. Medical agencies report that around 1.7% of the global population is intersex, but that abuses of their right to privacy, appropriate healthcare and freedom from discrimination is often violated. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights will now prepare a report on discriminatory laws and policies, acts of violence, and recommend best practices for persons with innate variations in sex characteristics in all regions of the world." Awa Mahadawi, writing in The Guardian, says that the homophobic defender of the right wing and self-proclaimed free speech absolutist, the billionaire Elon Musk, is nothing of the sort. In fact, she says he is a hypocrite, defending the right wing's dubious ability to attack other people whilst having an extremely thin skin himself. Arwa writes, "Despite the fact that he styles himself as a free speech warrior, Mr. Musk has also made it very clear that he's not keen on certain forms of free speech. He will defend someone's right to use transphobic and ableist language online to the very end, but God forbid should anyone exercise their freedom of speech to say anything bad about him." Dana Piccoli, writing for the News Is Out web portal, reports that an inspirational figure in the world of lesbian publishing has passed on to the realm of our LGBTQIA+ ancestors at the age of 81. Ella Mathis was the editor of Lesbian News, a magazine and website, from 1994 until 2022. For nearly three decades, Mathis highlighted the lives and interests of lesbians and queer women for the United States' longest-running lesbian publication. Dana notes, "We'll never forget her tenacity and dedication to the community. Mathis is survived by her wife of 26 years, Gladay Adams. Thank you for creating a space for our community for so many years, Ella," she said. Rainbow Rebellion, the LGBTQIA+ affiliate of the Extinction Rebellion movement, advises that the Extinction Rebellion groups in the UK will be holding a roles and recruitment fair on Sunday the 28th of April from 7:30 to 9 p.m. The event will take place online. The movement says, "Have you ever wondered about taking on a role or a different role within XR? Or do you have a few hours a week to take on a task? One of the most important and powerful contributions you can make to this movement is the donation of time. Come and chat with people you could be working with." The Zoom Roles Fair will include closed captions online. For further information, you can email volunteer@extinctionrebellion.uk. On Friday the 5th of April, BBC Radio's independent music network, Six Music, broadcasts an hour-long special mix to celebrate the work of the gay house music DJ Frankie Knuckles to mark the 10th anniversary of his sad death due to complications from diabetes. Mr. Knuckles is sometimes referred to as the godfather of house music, as his work in black gay clubs such as the Continental Baths in New York City and the Warehouse in Chicago was essential in developing disco music into its successor, house music. As Wikimedia notes, in the late 1970s, as disco faced challenges, Mr. Knuckles sought ways to keep the genre alive in Chicago. He began experimenting with re-edits of songs, extending intros and breaks, and adding new beats to rejuvenate old favourites. The Warehouse, situated in Chicago's West Side industrial zone, emerged as a sanctuary for the city's black and gay communities, offering a haven for those seeking freedom and salvation through music. Knuckles' DJ sets at the Warehouse were transformative experiences, drawing in crowds of up to 2,000 people, primarily from the black and gay demographics. A section of Jefferson Street in Chicago, near the site of the Warehouse, was renamed Frankie Knuckles Way in August 2004. And finally, progressive Muslims and LGBTQIA plus Muslims have been sending their best wishes for the festival of Eid al-Fitr, which began on Wednesday evening. Eid marks the end of the lunar month of fasting and charitable works known as Ramadan. Among the organisations sending wishes are Muslims for Progressive Values and Hidayah LGBT. Celebrations are usually held with large meals for family and friends, and thanks are given for enabling people to undertake the month of daylight fasting. We wish all our listeners who are marking it an Eid Mubarak. Well, that's it for news this week. So much is going on in the LGBTQIA plus world, however, so do check out podcasts, online magazines and the print LGBT plus media for more. And why not visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, I've been Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Listeners who've been listening regularly to Shout Out will know that we've covered Queer East Festival before. We're back again for their fifth anniversary, and I'm joined by director E. Wang. E, welcome to Shout Out.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Let's go back. How did you get involved with Queer East?
Oh, yeah. So Queer East actually comes from my sort of personal experience, and in a very selfish way, I think. Since I came to the UK, I often didn't got a chance to see a lot of films that related to my heritage, my backgrounds, and also sort of my understanding about queerness. And so I feel like it's really important that we sort of creating this platform that showcases queer East and Southeast Asian cinema to public.
Now, it's quite a big one this year, isn't it? You're getting around and some big venues as well.
Yes, it's very exciting to see the festival like grows bigger and bigger every year. I couldn't imagine that we will be in this scale 5 years when I first started the festival, especially it was pandemic. So the whole landscape is just very different now, but I'm also very excited to see that there are more and more people in London and also across the UK who are really interested in knowing more about East and Southeast Asian queer communities. And so, yeah, super exciting about this year.
It's a great showcase, isn't it, for cinema from the Far East. And so just give us an insight, because there's an awful lot showing, isn't there? If you could just run through some of the highlights of the films you got showing.
Yeah, sure. So as you and also many of your listeners were aware that Queer East is always about showcasing a dynamic and diverse storytelling of East and Southeast Asian queer cinema and also arts and cultures. So if we look back into the history that this year we have this Korean film made in 1967, so which was pretty much over 60 decades ago. It's called A Princess One-Sided Love. So it's about like this period drama and also like involve like a gender play, which will be played at ICA. I definitely think you should check that out. And also, there's also a series of classic films like with the like Timing Lions, The River, of course. We also have a couple of Japanese retrospectives like sci-fi mystery drama called Summer Vacation 1999. It will be played at BFI, and I believe only a few couple of tickets are left. And also, if we look at the new releases, we have this Filipino animation feature film, which was Philippines' Oscar entry last year. It's called The Missing. And this is a very, I think it's a well-made, very sort of elegant animation films about a person who has to face his past and also traumas. And I think it's a very powerful film, and this will be in Barbican. So definitely worth check out. And of course, like we always feature a strong lineup of films about trans community. So this year we have Sarah, which will also be played at ICA. And also there's another sort of drama documentary film called Asok. This